In one of the sessions yesterday, I explained the millennium or the thousand-year reign of Revelation 20 is looked at in four ways.
昨天的一堂课里头我已经解释了启示录第二十章的这千禧年有四个不同的观点。
In this hour, I want to defend the view of the millennium, which I believe.
这堂课呢，我要来为我所信的千禧年观来辩护。
Of the four views that I explained yesterday, two are premillennial and two are not.
昨天我所讲的四个观点当中呢，两个是前千禧年，两个是不是前千禧年。
A premillennialist believes that Christ will return before the millennium.
前千禧年派呢，相信基督会在千禧年前回来，但我个人呢，却不以为然。
But though I was raised by premillennialists,
虽然我是生长在前千禧年的宗教环境中,
and I have many friends who are premillennialists,
我有很多好朋友也是相信前千禧年的,
I am not a premillennialist,
但我个人呢不是个前千禧年派者。
As an amillennialist, I believe that Christ will return after the millennium.
身为无千禧年者呢，我相信基督会在千禧年后之后来。
And I understand the millennium figuratively.
而且我对这个千禧年的理解不是字面上的一千年，而是寓意性的。
As a symbol for the period between Christ's first coming and his future second coming.
我对千禧理解就是耶稣第一次降临跟第二次降临的中间的这一段时间，我们称之为千禧年的，不见得是一千年，是寓意的。
My theme is why I am an amillennialist.
So, 我要讲的主题是为什么我是个无千禧年者。
Now, you need to understand my problem.
你需要了解我的难题啊。
I am accustomed to taking whole weeks to teach the doctrine of last things.
一般情况呢，我要花一个礼拜才能够讲清楚这个末世论。
And 3 hours just to explain Revelation 20.
其中三个钟头呢，讲解启示录就要讲三个钟头。
In fact, I think some of the people in the back of the room have heard me try to do that in 3 hours.
有些曾经听过我坐到后面的讲三个钟头。
And so I'm going to attempt to do all this in a single session tonight.
所以今天晚上我要做那不可能的，就是一个钟头讲三个钟头的课。
And you might wonder if it's really possible to do that.
你可能怀疑我可能办得到办不到呢?
And I wonder if it's possible to do that.
我也不知道我办得到办不到。
Actually, though, I'm thankful for the opportunity.
其实我很高兴有这样的机会啊。
It is easy sometimes to become so detailed that, to use our American saying, we can miss the forest for the trees.
有时候我们很容易太注重细节，以至于用中国话讲，捡了小瓜子，丢了大西瓜。
And this results in our hearers doing the same thing.
结果导致听的人也会因小失大啊。
Sometimes we need to get a higher view.
有时候我们要从高一点的角度来看事情。
When I was flying in here on Friday,
当我礼拜五坐飞机来的时候,
I believe we flew over Big Bear Lake.
我相信我们飞过了那个大熊湖啊。
Perhaps it was my imagination.
可能是我的幻想吧。
But from 30,000 feet in the air, I thought I could see why they call it Big Bear Lake.
但从3万公尺看下去，我想我看到了一个大熊的样子啊。
If you were standing on the shore, you might not see the outline of the whole lake.
但如果你站在大熊湖旁边的话，你可能看不到整个这个轮廓。
But from high in the sky, you could see the outline of the lake.
那居高临下呢，你可以看到这个形状。
So we're going to look at the millennium from high in the sky tonight.
所以今天晚上我们要从一个很高的角度来看千禧年的问题。
And I hope it will be helpful to you.
盼望对你呢有所帮助。
So I hope this brief flyover of why I am an amillennialist may be more helpful than a long exposition.
所以我盼望现在我这个短小精干的一堂课，讲为什么我是个无千禧年者呢？比长篇大论的叙述我的观点和斥驳别人观点呢，更为对你有益处。
Or am I taking a lot of time to refute other views?
哦，或者花时间看别的不同的观点啊。
So here is where I'm going with this theme.
我要讲的是以下是我的讲论的进程啊。
I am a non-millennialist.
首先，我是个无千禧年者。
Of course, because of the Bible.
当然是因着圣经的教导，我才这么信的啊。
But for three reasons.
那是有三个原因理由。
Because of what the Bible teaches about the general judgment.
第一是因为圣经对普遍审判的教导。
Because of what the Bible teaches about the two ages.
第二是因为圣经对两个世代的两大世代的教训。
And because of what the Bible teaches about the coming of the kingdom.
第三呢，也是因为圣经对国度将来的国度的教导。
Before we prosecute this theme, however, let's read the passage that all the fuss is about.
好，我们继续讲述这个主题之前呢，我们先读读这段搅乱天下的经文啊，就启示录二十章。
So turn in your Bibles to Revelation 21 to 10.
请翻到启示录第二十章。
And first of all, let's look at the first paragraph of the three that compose that passage.
首先我们看看头三节啊，这一段落的第一个段落，头三节。
And we can call verses 1 to 3 Satan bound.
好，我们可以讲这一段的主旨是撒旦的被捆，撒旦的被捆。我们大家同声来读一到三节第一个段落。我又看见一位天使从天降下，手里拿着无底坑的钥匙和一条大链子，他捉住那龙，就是古蛇，又叫魔鬼，也叫撒旦。把他捆绑一千年，扔在无底坑里，将无底坑关闭，用硬封上，使他不得再迷惑列国。等到那一千年完了以后，必须暂时释放他。
The second paragraph，
好，第二个段落呢
？Verses 4 to 6，
四到六节
，can be entitled Thrones in Heaven。
我们可以称之为天上的宝座。第二个段落，我们大家一起来读四到六节，天上的宝座。我又看见几个宝座，也有坐在上面的，并有审判的权柄赐给他们。我又看见那些因为给耶稣做见证，并为神之道被斩者的灵魂，和那没有拜过兽的兽像，也没有在额上和手上受过他印记之人的灵魂，他们都复活了，与基督一同作王一千年。这是头一次的复活，其余的死人还没有复活，直到那一千年完了。在头一次复活有份的有福了，圣洁了，第二次的死在他们身上没有权柄，他们必做神和基督的祭司，并要与基督一同作王一千年。
The third paragraph in these verses is verses 7 to 10.
好，第三个段落呢是七到十节，撒旦的释放。
And we may entitle these verses Satan loosed.
好，这一段呢主题是撒旦的释放。我们一起来读七到十节。那一千年完了，撒旦必从监牢里被释放出来，要迷惑地上四方的列国，就是哥格和马各，叫他们聚集征战，他们的人数多如海沙，他们上来遍满了全地，围住圣徒的营与蒙爱的城，就有火从天上降，那迷惑他们的魔鬼被扔在硫磺的火湖里，就是兽和假先知所在的地方，他们必昼夜受痛苦，直到永永远远。
So here is the first reason why I believe in amillennialism.
好，这是第一个我相信无千禧年的原因。
Because of what the Bible teaches about the general judgment.
因为圣经对普遍审判的教导。
I was asked recently why I became an amillennialist when I was raised premillennial.
最近有人问我为什么我从前小时候是前千禧年派，现在长大了我转变成为无千禧年者呢？
I'm certain that understanding what the Bible teaches about the general judgment was a very important factor.
其中我肯定的一点就是了解了圣经对普遍审判的教导呢，是一个很重要的因素，使我改变。
Time permits me to turn to you only to one text that teaches the general judgment.
时间只容许我带你看一段经文来说明普遍审判的教义。
There are many other texts than the one I'm going to turn you to.
其实除了这一段我要带你看的，还有许多其他的经文也讲到普遍的审判。
In fact, in our first session on Friday night, we looked at one of them.
其实礼拜五我们第一堂课的时候也看了其中的一段经文啊。
In some detail, and that was Romans 2:1-16.
就是罗马书的第二章第一到十六节，我们礼拜五晚上看的，我们详细的已经看过了。
If you'd like to see a lot more about this, you can look in a couple of books. At my book, End Times Made Simple, and also, and a modern exposition of the 1689 Baptist Confession.
如果你愿意更详细的查看这个主题呢，可以去看我写的两本书啊。他写的就是《简明的末世论》和1689年浸信会信仰告白的现代诠释。
Now I want, however, to turn you to Matthew chapter 25.
好，现在我们来看看马太第二十五章。
Matthew 25, and we read part of Jesus' description of the judgment there.
我们看看耶稣怎么样形容这末日的审判啊，其中一部分。马太二十五章。
Verses 31 and 32, and then verse 46.
好。三十一到三十二节还有四十六节，当人子在他荣耀里同着众天使降临的时候，三十一节要坐在他荣耀的宝座上，三十二节万民都要聚集在他面前，他要把他们分别出来，好像牧羊的分别绵羊山羊一般。好，四十六节，这些人要往永刑里去，那些义人要往永生里去。
The biblical doctrine of the general judgment consists of three elements.
圣经对普遍审判的教义呢，包含了三个方面。
Or there are three parts to it.
或者有三方面啊，三个部分。
There will be a judgment.
首先就是将来有一个审判。
First, of all men.
第一，所有的人都要受审判。
Second, at Christ's second coming.
第二呢，这个审判会发生在基督再来的时候。
And third, which will issue in the eternal state.
第三呢，这个审判会导致永恒的后果。
This means that the men will go either into the eternal punishment of the lake of fire.
这意思就是，这个永恒的后果，要不就进入火湖，受到永远的刑罚。
Or the eternal blessedness of the new heavens and new earth.
要不就进入新天新地，得享永远的福分。
In either case, they will be resurrected men.
不管怎么样呢，他们都要复活，要不就受审，要不就受刑，要不就受赏，得赏。
Who Jesus teaches don't marry or give in marriage.
耶稣说呢，到那个时候，他们不结婚，也不没有嫁娶的事。
Now this is, of course, the straightforward meaning of Matthew 25.
这是马太第二十五章的直白的意思啊。
The timing of the judgment here is when the Son of Man comes in His glory.
审判的时间呢，就是当人子在他荣耀里头降临的那个时候。
This is clearly referring to Christ's second coming.
这很清楚，指的是基督的二次再来。
So the time of the judgment is the second coming.
所以这个时间呢，是他二次的降临的时候。
The scope of this judgment is described clearly.
审判的范围呢，也讲得很清楚。
It is all the nations.
是万民万族。
And so the scope of this judgment is absolutely universal.
所以这审判的范围呢，是绝对普世性的，没有个例外的。
all the nations.
所有的国度，万国万民。
And then the result of this judgment is also plain.
哦，这审判的结果也是一清二楚的。
All the men and all the nations either go away into eternal punishment or into eternal life.
万国万民，要不就进入永刑，要不就进入永生。
And so the result is the eternal state of the righteous and the wicked.
好，结果就是义人的永远的归宿，或者是恶人的永远的归宿。
And what we see in this passage, we can see in many other passages in the New Testament.
我们不仅在马太二十五章这一段经文看到这样的结果，我们在所有的新约里头也看到同样的审判的结果。
Now, if this is the teaching of the New Testament,
如果这是新约的教导的话，
as I said the other night,
正如我那天晚上说的，
our views of prophecy must make peace with this fundamental reality.
我们对预言的理解必须要合乎这样的教导。
If this is the teaching of the New Testament,
如果这是新约的教导，
then this provides a fundamental truth,In light of which systems of last things must be evaluated.
这就要为将来啊，这将要为评估末世观呢预备了一个基本真理的平台了。就凭着这个来审判，这是个标准。
And this absolutely and essentially distinguishes my eschatology from every form of premillennialism.
哦，这个普遍审判的教导呢，将我的末世论。和其他的前千禧年的末世观呢，从本质上也绝对的区分出来。
Why is that the case?
为什么会这样呢？
Well, for two reasons.
有两个原因。
First,
第一，
every form of premillennialism must assume that some natural men survive the second coming of Christ.
哦，任何其他形式的前千禧年派呢，必须假设。基督二次降临之后，还会有人存留下来。
Why is that the case?
为什么呢？为什么有人存留呢？
Well, you read it in Revelation 20.
你在启示录二十章已经读到了。
At the end of the millennium,
这千禧年到了末了的时候，
there are wicked men on the earth running around and attacking God's people.
有一些恶人呢、啊，会攻击神的百姓啊。
Now, if this takes place after the second coming.
如果这是在基督降第二次降临之后发生的话，
then some men must not go into eternal fire or into eternal life when Christ comes back.
那么当基督来的时候，有些人一定不会到永刑或者不会到永生。
Some men must survive the second coming.
有些人必须存留下来啊。
Get married.
结婚啊。
Have babies.
然后生儿育女啊。
Who grow up to be wicked men.
他们长大了，有一些成为恶人啊。
And finally, at the end of the millennium.
最后在这个千禧年的末了的时候。
Attack the camp of the saints.
他们要起来攻击圣徒的营。
But Matthew 25 says there are no such men.
但是马太二十五章说没有这样的人，以后不会有这样的人。
All the nations go into eternal life or into eternal punishment.
万民要不就已经得到永生，要不就已经受到永刑了。
And in neither condition do they marry or give in marriage or have babies.
不管你在天上还是地上，你都不能够嫁娶，也不能够生孩子，生儿育女，繁衍下去了。
Remember how evil men gather and attack the saints at the end of the millennium in Revelation 20.
记得在启示录第二十章，千禧年之后呢，恶人如何会聚集起来要攻击圣徒？
Biblical prophecy teaches that every man enters the eternal state at Christ's second coming.
然而圣经的预言教导是基督二次降临之后人人都会进入永远的境况永生或是永刑。
And so there are no natural men left to populate the millennium.
所以到了千禧年的时候没有人会剩下来继续的生养繁衍下去了。
The general judgment then leaves no natural men to populate the millennium.
所以普遍的审判没有为以后的千禧年存留任何的余种，再遍满全地了。
And so in this way, it's absolutely opposed to every form of premillennialism.
因此呢，这个普遍审判绝对抵触一切的前千禧年观。
But there's a second reason why the general judgment is opposed to premillennialism.
哦，还有第二个原因，为什么？第二个原因为什么？普遍审判会发生在千禧年之后。
In Revelation 20, the general judgment takes place after the 1,000 years.
启示录二十章呢？这个普遍审判会发生在千禧年之后。
It is called the Great White Throne Judgment in verses 11 to 15 of Revelation 20.
一到十五节啊，启示录二十章讲到这是白色大宝座的审判。
So.According to the teaching of the rest of the New Testament,
根据新约其他地方的教导
the judgment which takes place after the millennium,
在千禧年之后的这个审判呢
takes place at Christ's second coming,
会在基督再来的时候
and therefore Christ's second coming,
所以基督的二次再来
must take place after the millennium,
必须是在千禧年之后发生的。
Does that make sense to you?
听明白吗？
The judgment takes place after the millennium.
审判会发生在千禧年后。
The judgment takes place at Christ's second coming.
审判发生在基督二次再来的时候。
And therefore the millennium takes place before Christ's second coming.
因此，必须是在他再来之后，降临的。
And therefore the millennium must beA figurative period of time referring to the time we live in, the gospel age.
所以这个一千年呢，一定是一个寓意的、象征性的，指的不是真正的一千年，而是我们现在所生活的这个福音的时代。
But premillennialism teaches that Christ's second coming precedes the millennium.
然而前千禧年派却教导基督二次降临会发生在千禧年之前。
If the general judgment takes place at Christ's second coming and follows the millennium, then this refutes premillennialism.
如果普遍的审判发生在基督二次降临之前，又在千禧年之后，这就推翻了前千禧年主义了。
Christ's coming is post-millennial and not pre-millennial.
基督的降临是千禧年后，而不是千禧年前的。
This requires that the millennium be the present gospel church age in which we live.
这也要求千禧年就是现在的福音或者这个就是现在这个时代福音时代或者基督的时代。
The 1,000 years is figurative or symbolic for the gospel age.
所以这个一千年呢是不是字面的，而是一个象征性的，指的是福音的时代。
But here's the second reason why I think amillennialism is the right interpretation.
好，这是第二个，我相信为什么后无千禧年是正确的解释啊。第二原因。
Because of what the Bible teaches about the two ages.
好，因为圣经对两个时代的教导。
I often tell people that I don't build my view of prophecy on Revelation 20, but on Luke 20.
我常常告诉别人啊，我的末世观呢，不是根据启示录二十章，而是根据路加福音二十章。
They look at me and say, Luke 20?
什么意思啊？路加二十章。
Well, look at Luke 20.
好，我们来看看路加二十章。
There we find Jesus' discussion with the Sadducees.
好，路加二十章，我们看到主耶稣呢跟撒都该人的辩论。
Who deny the resurrection of the body.
这些撒都该人呢，否定基督的，否定这个身体的复活。
But in his discussion in Luke 20, Jesus comments about the two ages.
在路加二十章呢，它包含了主耶稣对这个两个世代的辩论呢。
Look at Luke 20, verses 34 to 36.
我们看34到36节，路加二十章。
Go ahead and read it when you get there.
好，我看看。三十四到三十六节，耶稣说：“这世界的人有娶有嫁，唯有算为配得那世界与从死里复活的人，也不娶也不嫁，因为他们不能再死，和天使一样。既是复活的人，就为神的儿子。”
Now, look at this passage.
好，注意看这段经文啊。
In your own Bibles.
你自己的圣经，你看看。
Do you see here that Jesus teaches there are two ages?
你看到没有？耶稣这里教导有两个世代，有没有？
This age and the coming age.
就是这个世代跟将来的世代，两个世代。
And do you see that he contrasts these two ages?
你看到没有？他在对比这两个世代，对不对？
We could do a diagram or a chart, couldn't we?
我们这里可以做一个图表，对不对？
Contrasting the characteristics of men in this age.
我们来比较这个世代的特征，这个世代的人。
And the characteristics of men in the age to come.
还有将来的世代，他们的特征又是怎么样？我们来比较。
It would be interesting to ask you all to do a chart. A table and contrast the two ages.
如果叫你呢画一个图表，然后来比较这两个世代有什么不同，什么特征，就会很有趣啊。
From these verses.
从这些经文我们可以看到。
But I won't ask you to do that.
但是我现在不叫你做。
I'll show you my chart.
让你看看我的图表。
Now, before I do that, though.
在我给你看之前呢。
I want you to know that.This doctrine of the two ages permeates the New Testament.
我让你看到新约圣经到处可以看到这两大世代的教训，不仅是这里，到处都有。
It's one of the most important and foundational ways in which the Bible teaches about last things.
哦，这圣经里头对末世的一个最重要也是最基本的描述。
We could even call the two ages the Bible's own scheme of prophecy.
我们甚至可以说呢，这个两个世代是圣经给我们看到的，他对预言的他的系统，他的划分，神的计划。
In fact, you can find reference to the two ages in almost 20 passages in the New Testament.
圣经头几乎有20处的经文都显明的涉及到这个教义，就是有两个世代。
I want to focus your attention only on Jesus' description of these two ages in Luke 20.
好，今天呢，我们要仅仅看到路加二十章有关这两个世代的描述。
Here are the biblical contrast.
好，这是圣经里的对比。
Let's see how many of them you saw.
让我们看看你看到了几点呢？
There is this age.
好，首先有这个世代，现今的世代。
The men of this age marry.
这个世代的人呢，有嫁有娶
，and given marriage，
而且有出嫁的也有啊。
Some of you here are getting married。
你们当中也有人正在准备结婚。
Nikos， and my friends David and Megan are getting married。
我们的朋友那儿也准备要结婚了。
But this age is also characterized by death and dying。
不仅如此呢，这个世代的另一个特征是有死亡和衰老。
This is very sad, but it's a part of our age that we live in.
这很可悲啊，但是这就是这个时代的一个事实。
And then we can say that men in this age are natural men.
或者我们可以说，这个时代的人都是堕落的人，或者自然的人。
That is to say, we have natural bodies and not resurrected bodies.
换言之，我们这个身体是属肉体的，而不是复活之后的荣耀的身体。
And in this age, Jesus teaches something else.
这个世代耶稣还教导我们。
In this age, the righteous and the wicked coexist.
恶人跟义人并存在这个世代里头。
Walk down the street.
你走在大街上。
And righteous and wicked men are both walking by you.
你周围会有义人、恶人都从你旁边经过。
But is the age to come the same?
但是将来的世代一样吗？
Absolutely not.
当然，绝对不同。
In the age to come,
将来的世代
there is no marriage.
没有婚嫁。
Men are like the angels who do not
marry. 人就像天使一样，不嫁也不娶。
And in the age to come,
将来的世代呢
there is no death and dying.
不再有死亡，不再有衰老。
And in the age to come,
将来的世代。
According to this passage, they're only resurrected men.
根据这段经文呢，只有复活的人。
They are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. See what Jesus says?
他们是神的儿子，他们是复活之子。看到没有，耶稣说的。
And there's one other great difference.
还有一大不同。
In the age to come,
将来的世代
only the worthy attain that age.
唯有配的人才能进去。
Only the sons of God inhabit the age to come.
唯独神的众子才能够继承那个将来的国。
In this age, righteous and wicked men coexist together.
哦，这个时代义人恶人并居，混在一块儿。
But in the age to come, that's all different.
完全不同。
There are only sons of God in a resurrected condition.
只有那些复活的神的众子会在那将来的时代里。
Now look at your Bibles.
看看你圣经。
And answer honestly this question.
你诚实地回答这个问题。
Is this not what Jesus is teaching here?
这是不是这里耶稣的教导？是不是？
And is it complicated?
复杂吗？
Is it figurative? Is it symbolic?
或者是象征性的、寓意性的、这个比喻性的而已吗？
No, these contrasts are clear and plain.
不，这些比较是一清二楚的。
But this these kind of contrasts are found in other places, and I want to show you one of them.
啊，这些对比呢，不仅是在这儿，而且在其他地方也可以找到。我再给你举个例子。
Matthew 13:37-43.
马太十三章三十七到四十三节。
Contains similar teaching to Luke chapter 20.
也包含了跟路加二十章相似的类似的教导。四三节，他回答说：“那撒好种的就是人子，田地就是世界，好种就是天国之子，败子就是那恶者之子。撒败子的仇敌就是魔鬼，收割的时候就是世界的末了。”收割的人就是天使，将败子入出来，用火烧灭，焚烧。世界的末了也要如此。人子要差遣使者，把一切叫人跌倒的和作恶的从他的国里挑出来，丢在火炉里，在那里必要哀哭切齿了。那时义人在他们父的国里要发出光来，像太阳一样。有耳可听的就应当听。
Now you see how this passage is similar to Luke chapter 20?
你看到没有，这段经文跟路加二十章的相似之处吗？
This is Jesus' explanation of the parable of the wheat and weeds.
这是耶稣对那个麦子和败子的比喻的解释。
And Jesus is saying that his kingdom is like a field full of both wheat and weeds.
耶稣说他的国度就像一块田地里头既有麦子又有败子。
But harvest is coming.
但是这收割的日子要到。
And in the harvest, the wheat and the weeds will be separated.
当收割的日子，败子跟麦子就会分开来。
The weeds will be burned up.
败子要烧灭，焚烧掉。
And only the wheat will be left.
唯有麦子会留下来。
The wheat is, of course, the sons of God.
当然，这些麦子就是神的儿女。
And after harvest, the sons of God or the righteous shine forth as the sun.
大收割之后呢，神的儿子义人在神的国度里头要像发出光来，像日头一样，像太阳一样。
Jesus borrows that language from Daniel chapter 12.
耶稣呢？是从但以理第十二章借来这样的言语
，which speaks of the glory of the resurrection。
但以理第那里头讲到复活的荣耀。
And so this is similar to Luke chapter 20 because two periods are contrasted。
这段经文跟路加第二十章相似啊，做了一个两个世代的对比。
One is the period of sowing or seed time。
一个是撒种的世代
，The other is the period of harvest.
另外一个是收割的世代
，This age and the age to come.
就是现今的世代跟将来的世代。
In the first period, the period of sowing, the righteous and wicked are mixed together in a natural condition.
第一个世代就是在这撒种世代当中呢，恶人跟义人是自然混合在一块儿。
The wheat and the weeds are growing in the same field.
败子跟麦子在同一块田里头一起长起来。
But in the second period, the wicked are destroyed, and only the righteous survive.
在第二个世代当中呢，恶人被毁灭掉了，唯有义人在荣耀中存留下来。
But the righteous do not only survive.
但是义人不仅仅是苟延残喘而已。
They shine forth like the sun.
但他们像日头一样发出光来，荣耀的活着。
In the glory of the resurrection.
在那复活的荣耀中。
What brings the transition from the time of sowing to the time of harvest?
是什么导致了从撒种到收割这两个世代的转变呢？
Not surprisingly, it is clearly the second coming of Christ.
不出所料，就是基督的二次降临导致这个改变。
Jesus is the harvester, and when he comes,Then harvest comes.
耶稣就是这位收割者，当他来的时候，这个收割就要进行了。
In the New Testament, the second coming always brings the resurrection of the righteous.
新约当中呢，他二次降临，总是带着义人的带来义人的复活。
First Thessalonians 4.
帖撒罗尼迦前书第四章。
First Corinthians 15.
哥林多前书第十五章。
Christ's people are resurrected at Christ's coming.
基督的百姓在基督再来的时候就复活了。
In Luke 20, the end of this age and the coming of the new age comes with the resurrection.
在路加二十章呢，在这个世代的末了，基督二次再来，带来义人的复活，新世代就开始了。
It's clear that the age to come.The coming age is the age of resurrection.
很明显哦，将来的那个世代是复活的那世代。
And this takes place at Christ's second coming.
这是在基督第二次降临的时候带来的新的国度。
Now this two-age biblical scheme presents enormous difficulties for the premillennialist.
这个两个世代的神的计划呢，给前千禧年者呢带来极大的难题。
Do you see why that is so?
你知道你看到为什么吗？
Into which age will he place his millennium?
他要把他的千禧年摆在哪个世代啊？
He cannot put it into this age.
他不能把千禧年放在今天这个世代啊。
Because this age ends with the second coming of Christ.
因为今天这个世代会随着基督的二次降临结束掉啊。
His millennium begins with the second coming of Christ.
基督的千禧年是从他第二次降临开始的。
But he cannot put his millennium into the age to come.
他也不能够把那个千禧年放在将来的时代。
For then only sons of God exist.
因为那个时候只有复活的神的儿子才存在。
Sons of God in a resurrected condition.
那些有复活身体的神的儿子存在在那个时代，将来的时代。
There are no wicked men in the age to come.
在将来的时代没有恶人啊。
The weeds have been burned up.
所有的败子都被焚烧掉了。
The wicked have been judged.
恶人都受了审判了。
In that glorious future age of the earth, there are only righteous people.
在那个荣耀的将来的世代，只有义人才会生存在其中。
In a resurrected condition.
而且是在复活的荣耀的身体里头。
But you see, in the millennium, there are wicked people.
但是在千禧年当中，你看到圣经里头还讲到，其中还有恶人呢。
Who rebel against Christ?
这些人会反叛基督的。
And come against the camp of the saints.
他们会来攻击圣徒的城。
This cannot take place in the age to come.
这不可能是在那个将来世代发生的事情。
So let's see. There are only two ages.
所以我们看啊，只有两个世代。
And we can't put.The premillennialist millennium into this age.
前千禧年派者呢，不能够放在第一个时代。
And we can't put it into the age to come.
也不能够放在将来的时代。
Where will we put it?
那他们会放在哪呢？
That's just my point.
这就是我要讲的。
There is no place to put it.
他们无地自容了。
Good and evil men are living together in the millennium.
千禧年国度中呢，义人跟恶人是并存的。
But they're not living together in the age to come.
但是他们不是一同并存在将来的时代里头。
So, here's our conclusion.
我们的结论就是
，In the two ages of the Bible,
根据圣经这两个世代的这个教义
，premillennialism has no place to go.
千禧年派者呢就无处可去
，and no place to hide.
也无处可藏了。
But there's a third reason why I believe amillennialism is the right interpretation of the Bible.
还有第三个原因，为什么我相信无千禧年才是正确的解经？
because of what the Bible teaches about the coming of the kingdom.
因为圣经对将来国度的教导。
I'm moving quickly tonight.
我今晚讲得很快啊。
I'm assuming that you know the Bible.
我假设你认识圣经，你读过圣经啊。
And the contents of the Bible.
也知道圣经的内容。
And this will be especially true right now.
啊，特别现在，你需要明白圣经。
The third reason why I'm an amillennialist and not a premillennialist is because of the teaching of the New Testament that the kingdom comes in two stages.
好，第三个，我是一个无千禧年者，而不是个前千禧年者的原因呢，是新约圣经教导我们神的国的降临有两个阶段。
And again, the reality that the New Testament regards the coming of the kingdom prophesied in the Old Testament.As coming in two stages, it's not the peculiar teaching of only one or two passages.
我再次强调，新约圣经啊，看旧约所预言的神的国会分两个阶段降临。这个不仅是一两处经文的特别教导，而是到处都有。
It is a teaching that really permeates the entire New Testament.
这乃是整本新约圣经处处可见的教训。
This remarkable view that the kingdom comes in two stages is directly stated in Jesus' seven parables in Matthew 13.
哦，这个神国分两个阶段降临的这个不寻常的观点啊，在马太第十三章这个七个比喻当中呢，要不就直接的暗示了，要不就清楚的阐明了。
In Matthew 13, we have Jesus' seven great parables of the kingdom.
在马太十三章里头，我们看到耶稣的七个有关国度的比喻。
Every one of them implies that the kingdom comes in two stages.
每一个比喻呢，都在暗示神的国要分两个阶段降临。
We have seen it already in the parable of the wheat and weeds.
我们已经在麦子跟稗子的比喻当中了，略略的稍微看了一下了。
The kingdom comes first as sowing.
哦，这个神的国度。
But then as harvest.
首先呢，就像那个撒种的阶段，然后就是收割的阶段，两个阶段。
It's also clearly present in the parable of the fishing trip.
在那个撒网的比喻当中，我们也可以看到这个清楚的教导。
There are two stages in the fishing trip.
在这撒网的比喻中有两个阶段。
You go fishing.
第一，你是去撒网，你去
and catch the fish.
抓鱼。
That's the first stage.
这是第一个阶段。
Then you bring the net to shore.
然后你把网拉上来。
And you sort out the fish.
然后你再把鱼分开来。
And the parable of the four soils is the same.
这四种土地的比喻也是一样。
It teaches that if the kingdom will come as harvest, it must first come as sowing.
所以如果这个国度要像收割一样的来到，那么首先呢，先要撒种。
Jesus' idea is basically this.
耶稣的意思呢，基本上是。
The kingdom comes as the harvest at the end of the world.
这世界的末了呢，神的国度会像收割一样来到。
But what do you have to have before you have harvest?
但是你收割之前先要干什么？
You have to have sowing.
你必须先要撒种啊。
And so before the kingdom comes as harvest,
所以这个国度像收割一样来到之前呢，
it must come first as seed time.
首先呢，先要有撒种，像撒种一样的来到。
Messiah comes first as sower.
好，所以弥赛亚会先像撒种之人一样的来到。
That's Christ's first advent.
这是耶稣的第一次降临。
And then he comes as harvester at the end of the age.
之后到了末世呢，他会像收割之人一样的来到。
One may find this striking two-stage coming in a different way in 1 Corinthians 15.
我们也可以在林前第十五章找到这个神国降临的明显的两个阶段啊。
Look at 1 Corinthians 15.
我们看看林前第十五章。
And here, Paul relates the coming of the kingdom to the idea of the resurrection.
这里保罗把复活的事实跟神国度的降临呢连在一块了。
In the entire in the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is defending the resurrection.
0前15章这整章哦, 他都在论证这个主题, 就是复活。
Read the passage.
好, 我们来读第20节到28节, 我们一起读。 但基督已经从死里复活, 成为睡了之人出熟的果子, 死既是因一人而来, 死人复活也是因一人而来。 在亚当里众人都死了, 照样在基督里众人也都要复活, 但个人是按着自己的次序复活。 初熟的果子是基督, 以后在他来的时候, 是那些属基督的, 在后末期老了, 那时基督即将一切执政的, 掌权的, 有能的, 都毁灭了。 就把国交与父神, 因为基督必要作王, 等神把一切仇敌都放在他的脚下, 尽末了所毁灭的仇敌就是死。 因为经上说, 神叫万物都伏在他脚下, 既说万物都伏了他, 明显那叫万物伏的不在其内了, 万物既伏了他, 那时子也要自己伏在那叫万物伏他的, 叫神在万物之上, 为万物之主。
Now, we don't have to get into the details of this passage.
我们没必要涉入这段经文的细节啊。
To see Paul's general idea about the coming of the kingdom.
我们就可以看出保罗的主旨是关乎神的国度的降临，这段经文。
Here it is, very simply.
很简单。
The resurrection comes in two stages.
复活呢，会从两个阶段来到。
First, there is the resurrection of the Christ.
首先呢，是基督的复活。
And then there is the resurrection of his people.
然后是他百姓的复活。
And because the resurrection comes in two stages,
因为复活是借着两个阶段领导的。
The kingdom comes in two stages.
神的国度呢，也是两个阶段来到。
Isn't that plainly what Paul is saying here?
这岂不是保罗在这里清楚的教导吗？
The resurrection comes in two stages, first the Christ, and then those who are Christ at his coming.
死人复活也分两个阶段, 一个是基督的复活之后呢,是基督再来时候, 属他的人也要复活。
Thus also the kingdom of God comes in two stages.
因此呢,神的国分成两个阶段。
First, the Christ who is exalted to the throne by his resurrection.
第一个阶段是基督借他复活升天，在高天上做王掌权。
And then the kingdom comes in its fullness when the last enemy is defeated.
之后呢，当最后的仇敌死亡被打败了，他的国就全然降临了。
What is the last enemy?
最后的仇敌是谁？
Death.
就是死亡。
And how is death defeated?
死亡是怎么被打败的呢？
By the resurrection of Christ's people.
借着神百姓的复活, 死亡就崩溃了。
What is it that leads Paul to say, Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?
什么导致保罗说, 死亡啊, 你的毒钩在哪里? 死亡啊, 你的权势在哪里?
It is the resurrection of Christ's people from the dead.
是基督的百姓从死里复活的事实。
That defeats death.
这个使死亡崩溃了。
Death is destroyed when Christ resurrects his people at his second coming.
当基督再来的时候, 使他的百姓复活的时候, 死亡就被毁掉了, 就被打败了。
This happens at the second coming, at which time there is the resurrection of Christ's people from the dead.
这将会在基督二次降临的时候发生, 那个时候属基督的百姓就从死里复活了。
My point then is very simple.
我要讲的重点很简单。
As in Matthew 13's parables of the kingdom,
就是正如马太13章国度的比喻里头。
So also in Paul's discussion of the resurrection and the kingdom,
照样在0前15章在保罗叙述复活与国度当中,
the kingdom comes in two stages.
我们都看到神的国分成两个阶段降临，对不对？
But you say, what does all that have to do with Revelation 20?
但是你说这一切跟启示录二十章有何相干呢？
How does that fit into Revelation 20?
这跟启示录二十章什么挂上钩呢？
Well, don't you understand?
你不明白吗？
Don't you see?
你没看到吗？
That in Revelation 20,
在启示录二十章，
the kingdom comes in two stages as well.
哎，神的国也是分两个阶段降临的。
It is striking and critical to a proper understanding of Revelation 20.
这个是很关键的，我们明白了这一点，我们才能够按着正义理解启示录二十章。
That you have the same two-stage coming of the kingdom in Revelation 20.
在其中呢，我们也看到神的国度的降临的这两个阶段。
Set these passages side by side in your minds.
你把这些经文啊，在你头脑里头放两边。
Matthew 13.
马太十三章。
Seed time and harvest.
有撒种的时代跟收割的时代，两个阶段。
1 Corinthians 15.
灵前十五章。
Christ's resurrection.
基督的复活的阶段。
And the resurrection of his people.
基督的百姓的复活的第二个阶段。
Revelation 20.
好，在启示录二十章呢。
Satan bound.
也是撒旦被捆绑阶段。
Satan burned.
撒旦被烧灭的阶段。
There's the same two-stage coming of the kingdom.
这都是同一个神国度降临的两个阶段。
And if that's true, what does it suggest?
如果这是对的话，这个教导我什么功课呢？
Well, it suggests that the thousand-year reign of Christ in Revelation 20 refers to the present gospel age.
这个指的就是呢，那千禧年在启示录第二十章的这千禧年指的是现在的福音的这个时代。
It's the time between seed time and harvest.
这是在撒种跟收割这两个中间的这段时间。
It's the time between Christ's resurrection and the resurrection of his people.
这是在基督复活跟他神百姓，他的百姓复活的这两个阶段的当中的这段时间。
Those two periods are the same as Revelation 20.
这两个阶段呢，正如启示录第二十章里头一样。
This that they are the time between Satan's being bound and Satan's being burned.
也就是撒旦被捆绑和撒旦被烧灭的这一段时间。
The kingdom comes finally and fully then after the thousand years are completed in the burning of Satan and the destruction of his minions.
这一千年之后呢，撒旦就被烧灭了。他的随从者，他楼罗门也都被毁灭了，那神的国就最终全然降临了。
One of the most important principles of biblical interpretation,
解经的其中一个最重要的原则就是
is that obscure passages must be interpreted in light of clear passages.
就是清楚的经文必须用来解释比较模糊的经文。
Figurative passages must be interpreted in light of literal passages.
换言之呢，照字面理解的经文，清楚的，必须用来解释寓意性的或者象征性的比较模糊的经文。
Revelation 20, beyond all doubt, is an obscure and figurative passage.
毋庸置疑的，启示录二十章是一段比较朦胧、晦涩、看不清的，有很多比喻的经文。
It must therefore be interpreted in light of the clear teaching and the literal passages in the rest of the New Testament.
因此呢，我们必须根据新约当中清楚的、明朗的和新约里头的清楚的教训来解释启示录二十章。
Can I put it like this?
或者我可不可以这么说？
We must not fit Matthew 13 and 1 Corinthians 15 into Revelation 20.
我们不能够把马太十三章跟哥林多前书十五章呢，放在启示录二十章的框架里面来解释它。
We must fit Revelation 20 into Matthew 13 and 1 Corinthians 15.
反过来呢，我们应该把启示录二十章放在马太十三跟林前十五章的框架里头来解释。
And when we do that,
当我们这样做的时候呢,
we discovered that there is here the same structure that we find throughout the rest of the New Testament.
我们就会发现启示录二十章的结构呢，跟其他新约的经文都是一致的。
The kingdom comes in two stages.
是神的国度分两个阶段降临。
These are the same two stages as in Matthew 13.
这两个阶段跟马太十三章的两个阶段是一样的。
They are the same two stages as we have in 1 Corinthians 15.
也是哥林多前书十五章的同样的两个阶段。
And all of this demands the amillennial interpretation of Revelation 20.
这些经文呢，都是需要五千禧年的架构来解释它。
The difference is this.
不同乃在于。
These two stages are not described here as seed time and harvest.
就是在启示录二十章所讲的，不是用撒种跟收割的季节来描述。
And they are not described here as the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of His people.
也不是用基督复活跟属他的人复活这两个阶段来说明。
Different imagery is used.
用了不同的图像来解释。
These two stages are described as the binding and the burning of Satan.
在启示录二十章呢，是用撒旦的捆绑和撒旦的被消灭来描述这两个阶段。
The plain implication must be this.
很明显的暗示呢，必然是
the period bounded by the binding and burning of Satan is the same as that bounded by seed time and harvest.
就撒旦被捆绑跟烧灭之间的这个阶段的时间呢，就是撒种的时间与收割的这段时间。
And the same is that bounded by the resurrection of Christ and His people.
或者基督复活跟他百姓复活之间的这同一段的时间。
And this means clearly and directly that the 1,000 years of Revelation 20 is a figurative period of time describing the gospel age in which we live.
这就很直接又清楚地表明了启示录二十章这个一千年呢，就是现在我们所生活的这个福音的时代，就现在这个时代。
And to be plain about it,
我们讲一清二楚啊。
This means that premillennialism is wrong.
换言之，前千禧年派呢？
And our millennialism is right.
而后千禧年一定是哦，无千禧年一定是对的。
Now, of course, people scoff at this.
当然，这个解释呢会遭到人的讥诮讽刺。
How can you say that Satan is bound now?
他们回应说：“
How ridiculous!
这简直笑话！你怎么说现在撒旦被捆绑了？这
Satan's not bound now.
现在撒旦根本没被捆绑。”他挺自由的。
Well, it's certainly true.
当然，撒旦没有完全被捆绑，没错。
That in terms of deceiving and destroying individuals,
从欺骗人呐，跟毁灭人这个角度来看呢
，Satan is not bound today.
今天撒旦还没有完全被捆绑。
No, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy.
撒旦就像吼叫的狮子，遍地游行，寻找可吞吃的人呐。
But Revelation 20 is not talking about individuals.
但是启示录二十章讲的不是个人的这种欺骗呐，这种捆绑。
The passage is clear.
这段经文很清楚。
And explicit.
而且是很明显的。
Satan is not bound in the sense of individuals.
他不是个人身上捆绑，不是这种捆绑。
He is bound in terms of not deceiving the nations.
而是撒旦被捆绑不能够再欺骗列国了，万邦了。
The binding of Satan speaks of the restricting of his ability to deceive all the nations.
他所讲的乃是撒旦迷惑世上的列国，同心攻击教会，毁灭教会的能力已经受到捆绑。
Into a united attack on the church to destroy it.
他迷惑世上的列邦列国，同心合意来攻击教会，毁掉教会，这个能力被捆绑。
Satan is not bound in the sense of not being able to deceive individuals.
撒旦不是被捆绑，不能够欺骗个人，他还是能欺骗个人。
But he is bound in the sense of not being able to deceive all the nations into a united attack on the church.
他乃是被捆绑了，不能够迷惑世上列国，同心来攻击教会，毁灭教会。
It is clear that in this respect, Satan is bound.
很明显，从这个角度而言呢，撒旦的确被捆绑了。
and has been bound for almost 2,000 years.
而且到目前为止呢，已经被捆绑了两千多年了。
This is the only way that the church could have survived.
这是教会唯一能够生存的理由，就是因为撒旦被捆绑。
Remember what we've seen.
记得我们所看到的。
120 Christians.
120个基督徒。
Hiding in an upper room in Jerusalem.
躲在耶路撒冷的一个房间里头。
That's one side.
这是一部分啊。
And on the other side is the mightiest empire.
另一方面，我们看到世界最强大的帝国。
In the history of the world,
人类历史上最强大的。
That Satan has ever built.
这是撒旦所建立的最强大的国度。
Why doesn't Satan simply use that empire? To crush the church.
为什么撒旦不利用那个罗马世界最强大帝国把教会那120个人给压倒呢？
Why doesn't he?
为什么他不把？
Why can't he just crush the church?
为什么他不能把教会一脚踩倒？
Ah, here's the reason.
原因在此。
It's in Revelation 20.
在启示录二十章里头。
He's bound.
因为撒旦被捆绑了。
And now, speaking of the binding of Satan,
当我讲到撒旦被捆绑的时候，
let us remember that this is clearly figurative language.
让我们记得这个是很清楚的象征性的寓意性的原意。
The figurative language of Revelation must be interpreted by the literal language of the Bible.
我们必须用圣经中可以从字面理解的语言来解释启示录中的象征性的语言。
And so when we come to the binding of Satan in Revelation 20,
所以当我们解释这个启示录二十章撒旦被捆绑的时候，
we have to go to the rest of the Bible and say, what does this mean?
我们必须到别处的经文圣经里头看看到底是什么意思。
Where in the rest of the Bible,
圣经其他地方，
is there any reference,
有没有？
To a future temporary binding of Satan.
有没有提到将来对撒旦的一段时间的暂时的捆绑？有没有？
Surely there's someplace else in the Bible.
圣经里头一定有啊，有一些地方啊提到啊。
That tells us that Satan will be bound temporarily in the future.
告诉我们以后撒旦会被捆绑一段时间。有没有别的地方除了启示录二十章之外？有没有？
Let's go find all those places to talk about that.
你去找找圣经里有没有任何一处经文讲到撒旦被捆绑？
You know how many places in the rest of the Bible speak of a future binding of Satan?
你知道圣经其他地方哪里讲到将来撒旦被捆绑暂时捆绑呢？有没有？
Zero.
零鸭蛋。
There is no such reference.
没有，除了启示录二十章没有别的经文。
Ah.
哦。
But there is a reference.
哦，有一段经文哦。
Many references.
其实有不少的经文。
To Satan being bound.
讲到撒旦被捆绑。
By Christ's first advent.
借着基督第一次再来，撒旦被捆绑。有。
By his death and resurrection.
借着基督的死跟复活，撒旦被捆绑哦。
The clear answer is that there are at least seven places elsewhere which speak of Satan's power being bound by Christ's first advent.
清楚答案是至少有七段别处的经文。别处的经文都论到基督的一次降临大大的限制了撒旦的能力。
We won't read all these passages.
Oh, I have them ready here.
Oh, you. Well, just read the references.
我们就看看啊，马太第十二章，还有路加第十章。你要记的话，赶快记下来，因为我没时间读了。都讲到对不对？捆绑，撒旦被捆绑，对不对？天上很好的经文。然后就是约翰第十二章，对不对？要捆绑。然后哥罗西书第二章十五节，二章十五节，就掳掠仇敌。然后希伯来书第二章十四十五节，要败坏魔鬼，要释放这些人。然后还有约翰一书三章八节，魔鬼显现，除灭魔鬼的作为。好，最后启示录十二章也是被捆绑被摔下去了。七处经文。
Well, so you may be asking this question.
所以你可能要问的是这个问题。
Well, then what does Revelation 20 mean?
到底启示录二十章是什么意思呢？
I'm going to tell you in 5 minutes.
好，我五分钟。
Before I'm done.
我讲完之前呢
What Revelation 20 means
Okay 就告诉你启示录二十章什么意思
I won't answer all your questions
我不可能回答你所有的问题
But just set aside your questions
但是暂时把你的问题放一边
And listen to what the passage actually means
我们看看这段经文到底在讲什么
The teaching of Revelation 20 is a dramatic and figurative portrayal of truths taught throughout the New Testament.
启示录二十章的教导呢，是整本新约圣经所教导的真理的一个戏剧性的或者象征性的描绘与表达。
The first paragraph, Satan bound, teaches that by Christ's first advent, Satan's dominion is overthrown.
好，第一个段落，撒旦的受捆绑呢，教导我们。借着基督的第一次降临，撒旦的权势已经倾覆了或者失败了。
This makes it possible for the church to take the gospel to the world for the thousand years of this present gospel age.
因为撒旦被捆绑了，因此呢，教会就能够在这个千禧年的世代，就是福音的世代，把福音带到全世界，传给万民听。
120 Christians are protected from the greatest empire Satan had ever created in the world.
我这里写错，不是公元后啊，是120个门徒。但是虽然撒旦建立全世界最大的帝国罗马帝国，但是基督徒仍然蒙神的保守，120个人仍然受保守。
In 300 years, 10% of the Roman Empire will be Christian.
就是300年后呢？罗马帝国的10%的，就十分之一的人口都是基督徒。
And a professing Christian will sit on its throne.
还有一个自称的基督徒的王，就坐在这个宝座上统治罗马帝国。
How could Satan ever let this happen?
撒旦怎么能够容让这样的事情发生呢
？He couldn't stop it.
他不能停止基督教的发展，神的国度的进展。
Why?
为什么?
Because he was bound.
因为撒旦被捆绑了。
The second paragraph.
第二个段落。
Can be entitled Thrones in Heaven.
我们可以取之为天上的宝座啊，这个。
Here the scene changes.
这里景场改变了。
And looks at the effects of the millennium, not on earth, but in heaven.
看到千禧年国度。那个时候天上的结果天上发生什么事
It comforts the persecuted church
受逼迫的教会呢就会得到安慰了
It teaches that Christian martyrs when they die actually begin to live
这段经文告诉我们、当基督徒的殉道者死了以后呢其实他们开始活下去了
They're not degraded by the Roman persecution.
他们没有被罗马的逼迫给降低了。
They are exalted by it.
相反的，他们反而升高了。
They go to live and reign with Christ in heaven.
他们就跟基督一同在天上活着，跟他一同做王。
The first resurrection is Christ's resurrection.
第一个复活是基督的复活。
And they share in the glory of his resurrection.
他们就跟基督同享。复活的荣耀
They join Christ in heaven in the glory of his resurrection, which John calls the first resurrection.
他们要在天上基督的复活荣耀中与他联合，这是约翰称之为第一次的复活。
As those joined to Christ, they have no need to fear the second death.
他们基于基督联合呢，就不用惧怕第二次的死了。
The contrast here is between the first resurrection and those who share in it.
这个比较是第一次的复活跟那些在其中有份的。
And the second death and those who share in it.
和第二次的死和在其中有份的那些人，这个比较。
This is a contrast having to do with salvation.
这个比较跟救恩是关乎救恩的。
The third paragraph
第三个段落
can be entitled Satan loosed.
我们可以称之为撒旦得释放。
And it tells the story of the end of the age.
告诉我们末日的故事。
This is the same story.
这是同一个故事哦。
as is told in 2 Thessalonians 2,
正如帖撒罗尼迦后书第二章的所讲的那个故事一样哦。
That we looked at in our previous session.
我们上一堂课已经看了，对不对？第二章。
Satan is loosed.
撒旦被释放了。
And he does what he could not do before.
他可以做他从前不能做的，可以为所欲为了。
He gathers the nations together in a global assault on the church.
他就聚集全球的万民来攻击教会。
Elsewhere in the New Testament, this is spoken of as the apostasy and the revelation of the man of lawlessness.
新约别处地方呢，就以离道反教的事跟大罪人或敌基督的显现来形容这个同一件事实。
Before his attempt to wipe out the church can succeed, however,
在撒旦试图消灭教会的计划能够成功之前呢，
Christ returns in the glory of his second advent.
基督在他二次降临的荣耀中降临，
and destroys Satan and all his minions.
就毁灭撒旦跟跟随他的喽啰们，
and brings the general judgment of the world.
更引进了末世的大审判。
Now, I know you have many questions.
我知道你有很多问题啊。
I think all those questions have good answers.
我想你的问题应该都有很好的答案。
But I simply want to ask you.
但我要问一个简单的问题。
Doesn't this interpretation of Revelation 20 fit wonderfully with the rest of the New Testament?
哎，这个对启示录二十章的解释跟新约其他所有的经文岂不是一脉相承？岂不是是前后呼应的吗？不是一样的吗？一致的吗
？Doesn't it teach many wonderful and practical truths that the persecuted church needs to know about？
它难道不教导我们这些受逼迫的教会需要明白的许多真理吗
？The answer is yes, it does.
答案是的确是如此。
And this is why I think.That Revelation 20 makes better sense in this interpretation than any other.
这是我相信启示录第二十章照着五千禧年的观点来解释，比其他任何观点更合情合理。